Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
By the way, we're about to talk to Dawn Jackson Blattner, the author, the registered dietitian and nutritionist, America's favorite nutritionist who makes you feel good about the food you eat. I don't know what she's going to say about this, but I just wanted to mention something Bob Surratt touched on earlier today. Wally Amos, the creator of Famous Amos Cookies, has died at the age of 88. He passed away at his home in Honolulu. He is the entrepreneur who took, in 1975, a $25,000 loan from a few friends and started Famous Amos, the first big brand to push high-quality cookies that came in bite size just for mouths in three varieties, chocolate chip with peanut butter, chocolate chip with pecans, butterscotch chips with pecan, all handmade. He said it has to be handmade. Handmade tastes better. He said it's like a Rolls-Royce versus a Volkswagen. He was quite the entrepreneur, and he made a fortune with these gourmet cookies. Born and raised in Tallahassee, Florida, until he was 12 years old. Parents got divorced, moved to New York City with his aunt, where she enrolled him at the Food Trades Vocational High School. Shortly before graduation, he dropped out of high school to join the U.S. Air Force and served at Hickam Air Force Base in Honolulu. My dad worked at Hickam Air Force Base in Honolulu as a major there for 4 years. That was where we used to go see Dad. It's a nice little Air Force base. My dad's office had bullet holes in the side as remnants from the attack on Pearl Harbor. He served at Hickam Air Force Base for a couple of years, finally left the military, returned to New York City, went to college to become a secretary, and after graduating, took a mailroom clerk job with the William Morris Agency. Eventually, he became that agency's first African-American talent agent and signed a couple of singers who went on to become legendary. Celia, you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily. He signed Simon and Garfunkel. One of the ways he got clients, he would send them some of his cookies. He said, how about this? Come visit me for more. He eventually attracted the attention of the Temptations and Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye. How about them apples? He started the business with the help of a $25,000 loan from Marvin Gaye and Helen Reddy. Okay, Dawn, let's see you top that. How's that for a story?
Oh my gosh, isn't that so inspiring? And that's why I really like, you know, podcasts like How I Built This and like these success stories. You don't even know all that background. Like, you know, I've had the cookie, right? But it's like, oh my God, do I know that entrepreneurial story? Like, that's amazing. Plus, the song you selected, Cecilia, I feel like that's a hello from my passed away grandma, because her name was Cecilia. So I feel like this is a very touching story you shared, and it really hit me in my heart.
Your grandmother's name was Cecilia?
Yes, exactly.
Who's named Cecilia anymore? I haven't seen that name come around for a long time.
Oh, I love it. Nickname, think about this. Nickname Cece? I mean, it would be cute. It'd be super cute. But yeah, I got to tell you, I'm so inspired by those entrepreneurial things. I'm always thinking, even to myself, of like, you know, what could I do entrepreneurial? And today, I was in the gym, and I brought a bunch of colorful headbands. Remember the 80s when people worked out with headbands on? So I brought a bunch of colorful headbands. Peer pressured everybody to wear them. We all had so much more fun at our workout. I'm thinking perhaps I might take some inspiration from your story, your Amos story, and maybe think about starting a headband company. What do you think about that?
I was there when it happened, and I do have an image of Jane Fonda in my head right now.
But, yes.
Or who. But anyway, and then some logo or name or, you know, some saying or something like that across the front. What would be the catchphrase for you?
Here's where your marketing genius is going to have to come in. Yeah, I do feel like there's got to be maybe a motivational word or quote or something, maybe in the inside so that you know about it and it keeps you going.
Nice.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Nice.
I don't know. This is This is really, your inspiration has really set the spark for me today, John. It set the spark.
Don Jackson Blattner's on the phone line, the registered author and dietitian and nutritionist. She's an author, and you can find her stuff at donjacksonblattner.com or DJ Blattner on Instagram. Hey, John, can you ask Don if she found the dog she posted to Facebook about a lost dog last week?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you for asking. Oh, my gosh. So I basically have co-ownership of a dog, and the co-owner with me texted over the weekend and said, oh, my gosh, Stella is gone. Help me find her. And so we sleuthed. I mean, this community, I got to tell you, is amazing. Everybody helped. Everybody put up signs. Everybody was on social media, all this stuff. And the final answer here is yes. Yes, 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 yes. We found the little 5-pound multi-poo doggy named Stella, and I got to say thank you in the airwaves for everybody who helped. Oh, my gosh. It was so scary.
We shared with you over the week a story in the New York Times, How to Make a Nation of Meat Eaters Crave the Humble Bean. And when I saw that, I said, Pete, you got to tell Dawn about that because she's always pushing beans on us. You saw that story?
Yes, I saw the story and I just loved it. So the sort of summary here, I mean, very similar to the title, is yes, I talk about all the time, beans are plant protein, beans are fiber, we need beans, beans are good for the earth and the sustainable. And this article says, yeah, we get it, we know that. But really the way to get people to eat more beans is to convince them that they're delicious, that people want to eat them, they're tasty. And it's true. Everything you read about the pillars of why people choose what they choose, it's their taste rule. It's then followed by usually price, convenience, and health. And they jockey, those other three jockey for position number 2, 3, 4. But always the number one driver of why people eat food is taste. And so I think that was a good reminder, actually, to me of like, oh, my gosh. Beans are such an important part of your healthy diet, but they're actually delicious and they're actually very easy because you can get canned beans that are already cooked and make them even more delicious. So one of the interesting things, on Tuesday, I was invited to a girlfriend's birthday party and we were making bowls, like, you know, healthy bowls with some like microwaved brown quinoa or brown rice and microwaved quinoa and a bunch of cut up vegetables and stuff and protein. We had chicken there. But we also had beans as a part of this bowl. And you don't just open a can of beans and put them out. You can, but is that fair? Like, is that really fair? You know, the seasoned chicken, all these other things that are on there. Are people really going to pick the beans? So here's what we did. We took the can of beans and we put it in a skillet with a little bit of taco seasoning because it was the bowls were a little bit, you know, Southwest style. But it could be any seasoning. And heated the beans with a little water and seasoning. And so they were put out on this sort of make-your-own bowl bar as hot, seasoned beans. And do you know, they were all gone, more than the chicken, more than any other things that were out there. They were all gone because they were so delicious. So sometimes just a little extra love of a canned bean, and they can become a crowd pleaser. So, you know, I love the story, and it's a great encouragement for all of us. Open your can of beans. You're supposed to eat 1.5 cups of beans each week, which is equivalent to one can.
Do you like baked beans? Because the way a lot of us serve them is you doctor them up. You put some onions and some ketchup and mustard and maybe some brown sugar or maple syrup in there. I don't know. What's the best way to eat and enjoy baked beans?
So, you know, you're absolutely right. They're super delicious. They tend to be on the very high added sugar side. So what I will tell people is take your recipe that you always make or the can that you always buy and then add an extra plain can of beans so that you're still getting all the bean goodness and the flavors that you like. But it really cuts the added sugar in half when you have just a plain can of beans along with it.
That is a good idea. It's like cutting your wine or some other thing where you want to enjoy it, but you don't want the full value of it. You want the quantity, but you don't want the full value of that quantity, so you cut it a little bit. What kind of beans do I mix in with my baked beans then?
Okay, so navy beans are typically what people will use. So if you're in the store looking at all the different cans, you buy your canned beans, and then you reach over and get some navy beans and rinse and drain them. 40% of the sodium washes away when you're rinsing those navy beans, and then you can pop them in with the regular, you know, loaded up, saucy baked beans that you like.
You also pointed out to us that the dietary guidelines for America come out every 5 years. The new set comes out next, well, not until 2026, right? What guidelines are we talking about, and what basic guidelines should I be aware of, Don?
Okay, so what, this is like, by the way, a dietitian's like most favorite thing to talk about, dietary guidelines for Americans.
Yeah.
And these are like the official set of rules of like how much of each food group to encourage people to eat. And it's very exciting. So we currently are following the 2020-2025 dietary guidelines for Americans. So about this time, you know, toward the middle to end of a, you know, year or two in advance of when they need to come out, which is 2026, all these committees start getting together to decide, like, how are they going to change? How are we going to update them? What are things that are happening? So I have no updates because all the committees are first being set to look at this. But there is some talk that maybe there'll be changes to the dairy group. So currently, adults are recommended to have 3 servings of dairy a day. And what is dairy? Dairy is milk, it's yogurt, and it's cheese. By and large, that's what our dairy group consists of. So about 3 servings a day. And a serving is either a cup of milk or yogurt or 1.5 ounces of cheese. Okay, so that's considered a serving, 3 of those a day. And so there are some groups that are saying, oh my gosh, maybe it might go a little lower than usual. We don't know. We're starting to look at all the research of people who eat dairy and people who don't eat dairy and see what the health benefits or risks are. And here's the thing. A lot of what we know is that it's confusing because, you know, a lot of these studies will put dairy foods like ice cream and pizza and big cheesy sandwiches full of lunch meat and processed meat in with the other things like plain Greek yogurt or just a cup of milk or basic cheddar cheese. So one of the things that you really have to look at with dairy is how the heck are you eating it? 3 servings is probably going to be the right answer every single day if we're talking about some sprinkled cheddar cheese on your broccoli, some feta cheese on your big salad. You know, I love feta cheese on a salad. You know, if you're talking about plain Greek yogurt with a handful of berries, you know, these are the things that gets confusing with nutrition. It's like dairy is likely very good for us. In fact, the DASH diet, which is for high blood pressure, encourages servings of dairy to help lower blood pressure.
Really?
But listen, it's not any kind of dairy. It's all of that clean, unprocessed, you know, stuff I'm talking about. So you got to be, you know, sort of weary about when people say, oh, I think dairy is causing trouble. It's like, probably not. It's probably the food that you're eating with, like, you know, pizza, deli sandwiches, and ice cream.
I think I've asked you this before. By the way, I got to take a break, so give me a short answer. 312-981-7200. Call or text if you've got a question about health and nutrition like this for Don. 312-981-7200. The color of the cheese doesn't matter. I used to think white cheese is healthier than yellow cheese. Is that true or not?
No.
No.
Color of the cheese does not matter. American cheese is not cheese. It's an American cheese product. So ditch the American cheese and go for cheddar, which is a natural cheese. And if you look at, you know, the American cheese label, you can see it right on there. There's nothing that mimics any sort of cheese.
I think the wording is processed cheese food product.
You're right. John, you're right. You're right. So if that's not a red flag right there, yes.
None of them has been to a cow. DawnJacksonBlattner.com. Order her signature headbands at DawnJacksonBlattner.com. But first, she has to invent them. All right. You ready for some calls, Dawn?
Yeah, sounds great.
Dave, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hey, I think a lot of people could be healthier and would be more interested in eating healthier foods if they learned to use and cook with pressure cookers. I take those hard black beans that you soak overnight and they take for hours to cook. I stick them in my pressure cooker after they've soaked overnight, and in 15, 20 minutes, boom, they're soft as baked beans. Whereas if you just cook them in a regular pot, it takes for hours. But pressure cookers are amazing, because not only do you have heat, you have the intense pressure cooking these hard foods.
How about that, Dawn?
I love that advice. I love that advice. And I got to say, I used to be very intimidated to cook beans. And I will disclose that I mostly buy canned beans. But the taste of making your own beans is definitely even more delicious than straight from the can. So I will say A plus to that. I want to come over and eat some of those pressure cooked beans.
Don shows up at your house with a fork. Hey, got some beans? All right. Thank you, Dave. Joel, you're on WGN with Don. What can we do for you, Joel?
Yeah, Don, I was wondering, would a third of a pound of boneless skin chicken breast and salmon be, or salmon, be enough protein to get with your big salad?
Ooh, I absolutely love this question. It's about pairing protein and salad. Love, love, love. Let me give you this cool sort of protein math equation. So for every 1 ounce of meat, like chicken or beef or salmon, it's around 7 grams of protein. That's actually, I'm so surprised that that's not more universally known, because it really would help a lot of people figure out how much protein they're eating. So for example, if I was eating about 4 ounces of something, 4 times 7 is about 28 grams of protein I would get from that item. So in general, you can figure out your protein. The goal for most meals is around 30. For somebody who's active and weighs more, it would be more than that. And for somebody who's less active and weighs a little less, it would be less. But 30 grams is a good target. And every 1 ounce of animal meat that's out there, that's about 7 grams of protein.
Don, do you want us to eat 30 grams of protein a day or a meal?
Thank you. It is a meal. It's a meal. So 30 grams is your target for that one, like, protein and salad meal. And so then if you multiply, you know, I'm eating 30 grams at breakfast, 30 at lunch, 30 at dinner, and then maybe I have 10 grams in a snack, it brings you to about 100 grams of protein, which, again, is just a very, very crude estimate of what people need. Some people, right, it's much less, especially with kidney disease, it's much less. Somebody, you know, might need much more if they're, you know, weight builders and really trying to build. But it's a good place to start for most.
12 ounces then of meat a day. Would a hard-boiled egg count as that, or a soft-boiled egg count as that?
Well, yes. So that's the thing with how to figure out protein grams. Why meat is so tricky is because oftentimes it doesn't have that nutrition label on there. So people need to know 1 ounce of meat is about 7 grams of protein. However, most of the time, like even your egg cartons will have, you know, one egg is 6 grams of protein. Your Greek yogurt will have a label that's like this 3/4 of a cup is 15 grams of protein. So you can really add up a lot of the foods to figure out your protein generally at each meal,
yeah,
except for that meat part. That's where a lot of people don't know that protein math that really could help them.
Don Jackson-Blattner, maple syrup and honey are natural with no added sugars. Are they good for you?
Okay, let me blow your minds. Based on the FDA, who is in charge of our food labels, honey and maple syrup, all natural, whatever, are considered added sugar. They are actually added sugar, meaning that they have not that many nutrients in there. It's mostly just like eating white sugar. Although, listen, there are some little tiny micronutrients in maple syrup and honey, and I love them when I'm using sweetener, but we still have to know that they're added sugar and something to really keep down in our diet, as opposed to thinking that, you know, the health halo, like, oh my gosh, this is so good for me. You know, I can have a 1/4 of a cup. You got to still pay attention to those and keep those limited.
Wah, wah, said honey.
I know, wah, wah. It is true, wah, wah, wah.
Let's talk to Kathy. You're on WGN with Don Jackson-Blattner. Kathy.
Hello there. How are you today?
Good. Talk to us.
Hi.
Okay. I just got in the car and was listening, and she was talking about dairy products, and she mentioned milk and two other things, but she did not say anything about ice cream or butter or yogurt. I'm wondering what are those considered?
Yeah, I'll get my much-needed dairy that way, Dawn. What about it?
Okay, so the dairy is three things. So we said it's milk, yogurt, and cheese. That's what we consider dairy foods. And now when it comes to ice cream, that's considered more of a treat or added sugar or fat. And butter is also considered an added fat. So in terms of food groups, you're really, if you're thinking about dairy, which, again, these healthy dairy foods, very good for blood pressure, and actually, listen, bones, because there's calcium in there as well. That's milk, yogurt, and cheese. And when it comes to milk and yogurt, it's likely that low-fat version. It doesn't have to be no fat necessarily,
yeah,
but like the lower-fat version of all the right, yogurt and milk. And when it comes to yogurt, no added sugar, please.
Last question for Dawn, 30 seconds. Dawn always says when buying wheat products, look for whole wheat, capital letters. But isn't wheat bread better than white, even if it's not whole wheat?
Oh my gosh, no, listen to this. This is crazy. Okay, so when something says wheat bread, that's just white bread. Wheat and white are synonyms. That they are the exact same thing. So in the restaurant, when they say, would you like rye or would you like wheat bread? Your wheat bread, when they're telling you that, is just white bread made out of wheat. So you always, always, always need to make sure that it is whole wheat if you want to get those whole grains into your diet.
I knew that would set her off. All right, let's visit next week. You keep doing what you do, Dawn. We love you.
Thank you. Love you too, John.
DawnJacksonBlattner.com on Instagram, DJ Blattner.